Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Our thanks to Adams Road Band for that musical introduction. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Peggy Fletcher Stack, a journalist at the Salt Lake Tribune, wrote an article titled LDS Classic, Miracle of Forgiveness Fading Away, and Some Mormons Say It's Time. I got to tell you, Eric, when I read this article, I really think that this was more agenda-driven than really trying to be an informative article. I think Peggy Fletcher Stack in this article, sadly, makes a lot of assumptions that I think would be very difficult to prove, unless, of course, she had a statement from the LDS Church regarding the reasons behind the miracle of forgiveness no longer being printed. But she doesn't do that. And I think we need to explain to our listeners, because I'm sure they're going to be coming across a lot of Latter-day Saints who are going to say that the reason Miracle of Forgiveness is going out of print is because it reflects doctrines that the church no longer wants to support. And I don't think that is actually true. There may be some statements that Kimball has made in the book that the church probably would feel uncomfortable supporting in this day and age. But to give the impression that somehow the miracle of forgiveness is teaching doctrine that is past, and that the Mormon church maybe is moving towards a more orthodox consensus, is certainly unfounded. But let's talk about what Peggy Fletcher Stack does with this article.
Before we do that, I want to talk about what this book is really all about. The Miracle of Forgiveness is talking about all the things a person has to be able to do to be able to accomplish what God set out for this lifetime, that
True.
Each person is supposed to do. And I think you can summarize the entire book on a quote he gives on page 268. It sums up the theme, I think, very well. This is what he wrote. In the context of the spirit of forgiveness, one good brother asked me, yes, that is what ought to be done, but how do you do it? Doesn't that take a Superman? Referring to all the things that a person has to do, he asked, does it take a Superman? And this is what Spencer Kimball replied. Yes, but we are commanded to be supermen. Said the Lord, be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Matthew 5:48. We are God's an embryo, and the Lord demands perfection of us. And I think, Bill, that's the reason why this book has been so controversial, because 1.6 million copies of this book have been sold since it was first printed in 1969, and people reading it have realized how difficult, if not impossible, to be able to accomplish all the things that Spencer Kimball says. But all he does is quote from the unique LDS scriptures, such as the Doctrine and Covenants in the Book of Mormon, along with Matthew 5:48, to try
Which he terribly takes out of context.
It certainly does.
And I still hear Mormons bringing up Matthew 5:48. And folks, if you ever have a Mormon bring up Matthew 5:48, where Jesus says, be therefore perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect, as if that is some kind of command for sinless perfection, merely ask them, you mean to tell me you're doing that? You're as perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect? Really? Because I've had many Latter-day Saints say that. When I turn it around on them and ask them, you mean to tell me you're going to stand before God and you're going to tell him that you're as perfect as he is perfect? Usually about this point in the conversation, they start backing up, because that's not what Jesus was referring to. He was not referring to sinless perfection in those passages, and the context demonstrates that.
Somebody wants to go to our website, they can listen to the podcast series we did on the miracle of forgiveness. We spent more than 40 shows going over it. It's full of things that really we're going to talk about with this article with Peggy Fletcher Stack, but that Mormonism has taught over the years and the standard works teach. And so what he was doing was expounding on what those scriptures were saying. But yeah, I think you're right. Peggy Fletcher Stack, I think, puts her own bias into what ought to be a journalistic, objective article.
Oh, it's big time. This is nothing but opinion in this piece. She really has no evidence whatsoever to draw the conclusion she's trying to draw, which even that I don't even think is made all that clear other than what she says in the first few paragraphs.
And so let's read that so the listeners can hear what we have read and be able to make their own judgment. She writes this. This is her lead. This is where your most important information goes in a journalism article. The late LDS Church president, Spencer W. Kimball's The Miracle of Forgiveness, a classic but controversial book that shaped Mormon sexual assumptions for generations, is quietly disappearing. The much-circulated 1969 treatise on guilt, wrongdoing, and repentance by then-apostle Kimball, who died in 1985, presented masturbation as too often leading to homosexuality, gay sex as a crime against nature that sometimes leads to sex with animals, and premarital sex as a sin next to murder. Quote, all such deviations from normal, proper heterosexual relationships are not merely unnatural, he wrote, but wrong in the sight of God.
And then she goes on to explain, as you just did, that this book has sold at least 1.6 million copies. It has always been generally a very good seller among doctrinal books pertaining to the LDS faith.
And to prove that point, before the show, we went on to Amazon.com to find out where it places as far as doctrinal books go. It's on the top 20 list of all Amazon books on books related to Mormonism. Now, I need to say something. As far as doctrinal books or anything written by a general authority, it's number two, only following Jesus the Christ by James Talmadge. This is above any other book written by any other general authority, including current general authorities. So if the listener or reader of Peggy Fletcher Stack's article is assuming that perhaps the book wasn't selling anymore, doing very well.
Well, it's implied, Eric. That's the point in the article. It's implied. It says the hardcover version of Miracle is now out of print, according to Deseret Book marketing manager Dave Kimball, a distant relative of the late Mormon prophet. And the paperback is listed as, quote, out of stock indefinitely. And then the next paragraph, the paperback's OSI designation, that's out of stock indefinitely, quote, is a status we typically use on older, slower moving titles, end quote, the Deseret Book manager writes in an email, quote, whose replenishment or printing orders are fewer and further between. I don't buy this.
No, you can't buy it because of the information that we just gathered from Amazon. It's doing better than anything Monson has wrote, that Packer has wrote, that Holland has wrote.
It's doing better than LDS Beliefs on Amazon.com, and that was supposed to be the big replacement, I guess, assuming even for Mormon Doctrine by Bruce McConkie. And they used that argument with Mormon Doctrine as well. And it was a very good moving book as far as sales were concerned. So you can't even believe them when they say that one of the reasons that it went out of print is because it wasn't selling very well. The evidence doesn't seem to support that.
And even though it has sold 1.6 million copies, look at how many Latter-day Saints have had that book in their possession at one time, or perhaps have it on their library shelves now. I mean, I have stood on the streets for the past 2 years handing out free copies of this book. MRM associate Randy Sweet and I have handed out those copies individually to people who promised they would read them. But I can't tell you how many Latter-day Saints won't take the book because they already have it. They already have read it. And the question that I like to ask when they do walk by saying they've read it, I say, are you doing everything that Spencer Kimball says you need to do? And more times than not, the number one response I get back is, well, I'm trying. Which he deals with on page 164 and says that trying is not sufficient. You can't just do the best you can. God has made it doable. That's what this book is all about. And those Latter-day Saints, when I would ask that question, typically would look like deer in the headlights. Like, yeah, you got me on that because I should be doing better. And Spencer Kimball was saying, yes, you not only should, but if you don't, then you are not going to get exalted. Which I like handing this book out because I think a lot of Latter-day Saints need to know how to do exegesis with some of the passages we like to quote on a regular basis, what Keith Walker calls the impossible gospel. Nobody can do this. without supernatural strength. You really do have to be a Superman.
Well, she tries to turn this into some kind of homosexual thing because he does speak on that subject in one of the chapters, and naturally the homosexual community is not going to like what Kimball said because he was not in favor of that behavior. And with most homosexuals, if you don't agree with their behavior, automatically they're not going to like anything that you have to say because they are wanting that kind of acceptance in the culture today. Isn't that kind of the impression you got?
Absolutely.
That was part of the reason it's going out of print is because maybe the Mormon church is changing on that?
Well, not only that, but we have no evidence that she actually ever even tried to contact the Mormon church to find out, or Deseret Press's editors. It seems very clear to me that she is coming up with this idea that perhaps they're trying to get rid of this homosexual theme, that one chapter that's there, by eliminating it. But we need to say something, too. We did some more investigation. We've had some people do this and found out that they haven't even printed this book since April of 2014. So this book has been living on fumes for the past year. They had stock backpiled, I'm sure, and they were able to sell that until finally. In 2 months ago, I actually looked to see if this book was available. Just on a whim, and it was not available 2 months. So this book could have been out of print longer than even 2 months.
Well, it also talks about the fact that apparently the word is that Spencer Kimball regretted the tone of the book, that he could have done a little bit better in how he expressed himself. I found this fascinating there. It cites Edward L. Kimball, who was the son of Spencer W. Kimball, where he mentions that Spencer Kimball regretted the tone and wished it was he had adopted a more gentler tone. But then in the article, it cites, in 1977, the Mormon leader said to Lyle Ward, his neighbor, "I think I might have been a little too strong about some of the things I wrote in that book." Now, can you imagine if we use that kind of hearsay to make a point?
To base it on a third party's remembrance of a conversation that nobody has any proof of. And yet, even if he did say that, let's just suppose he did, he lived for years after that. He had every opportunity to say to all the world and to all the Latter-day Saints, "You know, I blew it. I was too hard on the homosexuals. I was too hard on all you Mormons. I'm going to backtrack on some of the things I've said." But he never did. He allowed that book to go through multiple and multiple printings. 1.6 million have since been printed, and he had every opportunity to let people know he didn't believe in the book.
And let me just piggyback off your comment because you make a good point. He had plenty of opportunities to make the corrections, even while he was president of the church. If he didn't believe the doctrinal positions that he took in that book, he could have easily made those alterations, especially while he was president of the church, and he chose not to do that. So to buy this argument that it wasn't selling very well or merely because the homosexual community is upset and the Mormon church might be trying to appease them, whatever the reason, that I don't think is the reason. We're going to talk about this some more tomorrow.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. At Mormonism Research Ministry, we're committed to equipping Christian believers to effectively share their faith with their Mormon friends and loved ones. That's why we produce Viewpoint on Mormonism, as well as operate our website, mrm.org, where you can find a wealth of information on this topic. We also have books and downloadable MP3s available online. In addition, we invite you to join in on the conversation at our blog site called Mormon Coffee. We want to be your resource for helping you better share the Christian faith.